Today we shall speak about the infinite love of our God for mankind. We must come to feel God's love for mankind in all its manifestations. It is so infinite, so awe-inspiring, that the human nous, the spiritual intellect, is unable to grasp its greatness. God is infinite by nature, and his gifts are infinite without measure, without bounds, without limitations, and each one of his gifts embraces the whole person. A Christian should love no other person as much as our Christ. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. He became a humble man. He became an infant and was born in a cave. All this was God's condescension. He became man, drew near to mankind, and showed us his love and his love for mankind. And he did this when man had become God's enemy through disobedience, had completely disregarded the very existence of God, and was walking amid darkness and precipices. God the Father saw his creature destroying himself, slipping into ruin, blaspheming, and striving through his deeds to become like the devil, God's enemy. In his love for mankind, he sent forth his Son, who took flesh so that he might heal this sinful condition. He came and was crucified out of love for us, revealing his infinite love. Upon the cross, with his arms outstretched, he shows that he embraces every human being, revealing his love and his love for mankind. Yet in the face of this love and compassion from God, man did not respond as he ought. He did not grasp the greatness of God's love and his love for mankind. The proof that we have failed to respond is that we do not feel love for God. For if we loved our Christ, we would do everything possible not to grieve him. When a person sins, and especially when he opens his mouth and blasphemes the awe-inspiring name of Christ and of the Most Holy Theotokos, what kind of response is this, and what recognition does he show for God's love and his love for mankind? The fact that he is a human being, that he enjoys the good things of life, that he breathes the air, sees the light of day, and lives happily among other people, all this comes from God's love and his love for mankind. Yet he acts impiously. He crucifies Christ anew. Despite this impiety, our Christ continues to show his love for mankind. He continues to love that person, protect him, and provide for him. If that person comes to understand, receives illumination, and enters into metanoia, repentance, God's unceasing love for mankind, embraces him, forgives him, receives him, and counts him worthy of his kingdom. We have very many examples from life and from history. We all have personal experience of God's love and his love for mankind and of our own failure to respond to that love. There was once a man who committed a mortal sin almost every day. After sinning, he would come to himself, repent, and go to the church. He would fall down before the icon of Christ, ask forgiveness, and promise God that he would never commit that sin again. But the devil would trip him up, and he continued to sin and to break even his oath. He did this every day for 10 years. One day after sinning, he returned to the church. Kneeling and shedding many tears, he once again promised never to do it again. Then the devil, who had been tripping him up for so many years, lost his patience. He appeared there openly and began to accuse and rebuke Christ, saying, "Why do you receive this impious man, Christ, this fornicator, this perjurer? How long will your love for mankind continue to receive and forgive him?" From the holy altar, the devil received his answer. "You," said the voice of Christ, "are this man's enemy, yet you receive him every time he comes to you and sins, even though you are his enemy. And shall I, who am his God, his Father and his Savior, who was crucified out of love for him, not receive him when he returns from sin in repentance and tears? Yes, I shall receive him. I shall take him with me now and place him in my kingdom, and from this moment you shall depart into the eternal fire." Then lightning flashed forth from the holy altar and drove the demon away. And that brother fell asleep in the Lord there, before the holy icon of Christ, and departed into the kingdom of God. We must understand God's love and loving kindness, and feel great love for Christ. Night and day, we should think of nothing else but how to increase our love for Christ within our hearts. To increase this love, we must devote ourselves more and more to the remembrance and invocation of the name of Christ. The name of Christ is filled with the grace and blessing of Christ. When a person remembers it in the heart and in the nose, the spiritual intellect, and also speaks it with the lips, The name of Christ transforms and reshapes the heart of that person who prays. It gives the heart new birth and makes it a dwelling place, an altar. This name is not like our own names, which have nothing extraordinary in themselves. The name of Christ possesses divine grace, and for this reason it drives away demons. All the mysteries in our church are performed in the name of Christ. And one of the fathers of the church teaches us, saying, "Scourge the devil with the name of Christ." The name of Christ is divine fire, and it burns the devil. Therefore, when we pray and are troubled by logismoi, intrusive thoughts, we see that the name of Christ delivers us from them. No other name possesses such power as the name of the Lord. When the name of God is remembered and invoked, love for Christ increases within the heart. And when a person comes to love Christ with all his soul and all his heart, he will also become a faithful keeper of his commandments. The love of God is spread throughout the whole world. It is the love of God that bears with us and shows us such long suffering. If God's love were not infinite, God could not bear the weight of the sins we continually commit before his eyes. In our prayer, we must entreat Christ to forgive us, to go on forgiving us, and to continue and increase his loving kindness toward us, bearing with our failings in his long suffering. For we are continually careless, especially in our thoughts and words. When a person is careless with his mouth, he commits very grave sins, and the most terrible of all, of course, is blasphemy. For a Christian, blasphemy is the greatest offense. A Christian would never blaspheme his own father or mother. Indeed, he protests, how could he blaspheme his father and mother when he loves them and they have done him no harm? Yet he pays no heed to the dreadful blasphemy he utters against the Heavenly Father and against the Immaculate Mother of God, who is also our mother. At the very moment a person utters that dreadful blasphemy, the demons celebrate and rejoice greatly. It is joy for them. They are taking revenge on our Christ, and they say to him, "You who were crucified for this man who poured out your blood, in whose name he was baptized, look, I got the better of him, and now he blasphemes you. See his ingratitude, and so through us the name of God is blasphemed, and God is humiliated before the eyes of the demons." The demons celebrate, while our Christ is grieved. The guardian angel weeps and mourns. When the name of Christ is blasphemed, the whole unseen order of nature and all creation tremble. Yet the person treats it as nothing. He says, "I do not mean to do it, Father, but I blaspheme." He has not understood the enormity of the offense, nor the greatness of God's loving kindness. He blasphemes, and yet God invisibly embraces him. God keeps giving him his good gifts. God keeps giving him time for repentance. And this goes on for years and years, as if the man were a machine gun firing terrible arrows against the crucified one. Christ upon the cross receives the arrows of this man, the man upon whom he has shown mercy, the man who has been baptized and continually receives his loving kindness. Herein lies the greatness of God. How can we not love this God? How can we not give ourselves to his service and worship, so that he may one day count us worthy to confess him even before tyrants and emperors? And after years of blasphemy and impiety, you see this man receive God's loving kindness and change, not by 180 degrees, but by 1,000 degrees. He turns back and becomes a different man, a man of God, living in metanoia and repentance, with tears, conversion, and a transformed life. He desires to overturn everything, to give thanks to God, and henceforth to become an instrument that strives to help other blasphemers come to repentance as well. But if Christ's loving kindness had been absent and he had cut this man's life short, he would certainly have gone straight to hell. Yet divine loving kindness endured his condition and waited for him. God sent him illumination. He was able to receive it, and this astonishing transformation took place. That is why it is said that many times the last one becomes first and the first one last. The prostitutes and the tax collectors go into the kingdom of heaven before you. Sinners very often enter the kingdom of God ahead of Christians who are thought to be virtuous. And this is because of God's loving kindness. The crucifixion of our Christ contains within itself the entire wealth of Christ's infinite compassion, loving kindness, and love. Those arms outstretched upon the cross are filled with love, tenderness, and loving kindness. Let us pray before the crucified Christ and enter more deeply into the mystery of the crucifixion. Let us understand and feel the heart of Christ upon the cross. He was crucified to save mankind. He was crucified so that by his wounds he might heal the wounds caused by mankind's sins and passions. So it was with the Hebrews when they were in the wilderness and murmured against God. Because of their murmuring, God sent serpents among them. The serpents bit them, and they died. When Moses saw death spreading among his people, he implored God to lift this punishment from them. And God said to him, "Make a serpent of bronze and raise it upon a pole. Tell the people that all who have been bitten by the serpents must look upon this bronze serpent, and by looking upon it, they will be healed." And so it happened. In the same way, our Christ is the spiritual serpent who was lifted up upon the cross. Let us pray that our Christ will continue to show us his loving kindness, that he will continue to have mercy upon us, endure us, love us, and wait for us, and that he will count us worthy to repent, and like that repentant sinner, count us worthy to dwell eternally in his kingdom.